And you're live.
Okay. Shalom, everyone. Samech Yom Chameshi. This is Thursday. And we are going to hit some Hebrew today and get into some things today. And talk a little bit about last night, because I went home last night like, what was that, you know? But the Lord, I had spent the whole day, like 2 days, like just with the Lord concerning the way things are right now and concerning what was in my heart and what was in God's heart. And God just kind of wanted to show me that the world's in a mess right now. He's like, it's a big mess. It only doesn't look like it's big of a mess to you because you can't see it all. But God wanted me to know, I see it all. I get to see it all. And he knows it just what a big mess the world is in. And that's why he's taking his church out of here very soon. And so we have to be prepared and ready for that. Could you hand me that water, Pastor Ben? Because I'm going to need some water. I haven't looked at last night's message. Because when I talk about Donald Trump, sometimes people send crazy stuff. And I was like, I don't need to do it. Yeah. The Lord has already expressed to me through this scripture how he feels about the president that he put in there to help Christians survive until he comes. And so.
And God can use anybody.
Yeah, and he chose the right person, because you have to choose somebody that at least has the heart and the will to do what he wants you to do. And so rather you're deceived or I'm deceived, one of us is deceived, and I don't think it's me because I'm looking at fruit. I'm not looking at whether I like his hair or not. So anyway, let's pray in. And because I don't want to get you all mad at me before we get started. Okay, how cool, Havarime Israel, Shalom Hayom. And thank you for also watching. And we are going to, I'm getting my Hebrew together so I can begin to give you some scriptures and some understanding in Hebrew for those who don't speak English. But at least I would be able to give you an idea of what's going on in this 120th year that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Because I want Jews to understand something. You don't have to miss the rapture because you're Jewish.
Right.
You know what I mean? Paul will be there. He's Jewish. You know what I mean? Paul will be in the clouds. You know what I mean? A lot of people are going to be in the clouds that are Jewish. 3,000 got saved on Pentecost. Okay, and they were all Jewish from all over in every nation. They'll be there. So because you're Jewish, you don't have to miss the rapture.
Right.
The problem is that the rapture seems an odd thing to you because you only read the Torah and you don't read the Brit Hadashah and you don't read the New Testament. So you don't understand what God is doing because you have half the story.
Right.
And then for all you crazy Christians who only read the New Testament, who think that we get raptured at the end of the tribulation, is because you haven't read the Torah. So go to the Jews and read the Torah, and then you can show them the New Testament. Maybe you could come together and both books would tell one story, and then you could understand what's going on.
Amen.
Okay, so let's get into prayer. I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer today, and we're going to get started. Avanu Shaba Shabaim. Yid Kadeshimcha Tavo Melhuteke Yi Asero Sanaka Be Aretke Asherne Asa Be Shamain Tilano Hayom Lechum Hukenu Usilaglano et Ashmeteno Ke Asher Solechemanaknu Le Asher Ashmilanu Vial Tevienu de Massa Keim Hatilano Min Hara Hilaha Hamamlaka Vehagivara Vehativ Eret Leolame Leolamim Amen. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach Anachnu Tefillin Bon Alech. Let's go. All right. I'm going to express what the Lord was telling me this morning, because last night I was like, I was trying to say everything that we've been talking about in prayer for 2 days, Lord, and I don't think I did a good job. And the Lord said, because I was being too nice. Because the Lord is really kind of, I can't say the Lord is, but it's like, what are you doing, okay? In two things that are going on. Like the Lord wanted me to go over obedience and works, because and this is what the Lord said to me. This is not my thing. I was expressing it to Pastor Ben this morning. Because I said to God, man, why did you make us so unintelligent? Like, why do we fall for any little thing that Satan throws at us? And the Lord said, I made humans very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are deceived, and with life you're preoccupied, but you are not dumb, okay? God said, I made human beings very intelligent. That's why he has me teach you the Bible the way I teach you, and not try to dumb it down and to put the Hebrew in there and put the gematria in there, because God knows that other churches are doing that to you. Yep. They're dumbing down the scriptures so that you don't understand what God's doing. Well, God says he made us very intelligent. So when I showed you last night obedience and works, and I wrote obedience in red and works in orange, God says, it's as different as apples and oranges. Amen. If you're being obedient to God, that is what you're supposed to be doing for your salvation. Yeah. And you cannot be saved without obedience. Amen. You understand? You can't come to Christ, because if you come to Christ and you said you repented and you're not being obedient, that means you never repented, so you can't be saved. You understand? And so God is like, look, if you try to feed the poor and do all this stuff and go out witnessing, that does not add to your salvation. Mm-hmm. But obedience, you better get that right, because if you're not obedient, you're not going to see the heavens. You know what I mean? You're not going to see salvation, because you're doing just what they did in the 40 years in the wilderness. Amen. You came out of Egypt and you continued sinning, and you never made it across to the promised land. And so God demands that when we come in, that prayer of repentance, that we actually are repenting, okay? And then he says the repentance is a continual thing. So for your whole Christian life, if you sin, you can always repent. Yeah. I thought that was awesome of God to set that up that way. Well, okay, you're not going to be perfect, but I'm still going to allow you the opportunity to repent, come back in right standing. If you mess up again, I'm going to allow you to repent, come back in right standing. Only don't try to mock me and use this as a loophole, okay? So we're not unintelligent people. We know what a real relationship is. We know when we're playing and when we're trying to fool God, and we know that. So God says, you know what? I didn't make people unintelligent. They know when they're sinning. They know when they haven't planned on stop sinning. Amen. So they know when they need help to stop sinning. Okay. Because sometimes, quit drinking can't happen overnight. Yes, but God's saying you need to make some steps and you need to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? Because God is like, when you said you repent, I want to make sure that you repent, that you're trying to go the opposite way.
Yes.
So God wants us to know that it is ridiculous to listen to people that are telling you, oh, if I stop smoking weed or stop fornicating, that means that I'm trying to save myself, and it becomes works, and therefore I'm not going to really be saved, because I'm saved by grace alone, and me sinning to try to stop sinning with me, I'm trying to get involved in my salvation. You better get involved in your salvation. That's ridiculous. So anyway, I was kind of frustrated. That's why I was asking God, and God was like, okay. Now this is the other thing that God said I didn't express to you well enough. It's in Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to get off of this, because the title of today is Why the 19th Century? Because you got to know why you're leaving, okay?
Right.
And why the 19th century is the most important thing, okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, we read this last night, and God wanted me to express this to you, okay? It says, they brought him a demon-possessed man. They brought this demon-possessed man to Jesus. who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him.
Yes.
So that he could both talk and see. Look at that. He was blind and mute. Now he can talk and see. And the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? Wow. Could this be Ben David? Because Ben David is supposed to come as king, right? Uh-huh. And he says, but when the Pharisees, these evil ones said, heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.
Wow.
Okay. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, a kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. You understand? So this is what the Lord is wanting to say. Look, I provided someone in the White House to deter evil. It's okay if when I do good things, you should say, let's pray for this guy because he's doing good things. When Jesus healed this man, there were some that said this could be the son of David, and they were right, okay? But evil people said, oh, he only because he belongs to the devil that he's doing that these demons even listen to him.
Wow.
And God said, this is the same thing they're doing to Trump, okay? Because if Trump is not in office, Epstein is still a pedophile running the world.
Yep.
Do you understand that?
Yep.
If Donald Trump is not in office, whatever that he took the money from are still doing abortions and selling baby body parts across the world. Okay. If Donald Trump is not there, the girl that used to be on the Batman show, who was running this,
Superman.
The Superman show, who's running this whole foolish thing and find out and Donald Trump didn't know that she was worldwide, and you didn't know she was worldwide.
Right.
And the media never told you she was worldwide because they didn't want you to know that the pedophile ring she was running was not just her, that it was completely around the world under the umbrella of some rainbow coalition schools that's supposed to teach children languages and have them grow up with different languages under that lie that they had schools set up all around the world that were using these children for child sacrifices and pedophilia. They didn't tell you that, okay?
Right.
But it was going on, but the people who put Donald Trump in office knew that it was going on, mm-hmm. and so that was put out. Backpage on the internet, which was the internet spot for selling children and pedophilia, was shut down when Trump came in office, okay? So none of you still say, oh my goodness, maybe God sent this guy. You can't even see good works and say, maybe God sent him. You know what I mean? I know a personal stuff that I told you about. This black couple having problems with their mortgage, And Donald Trump pays off their whole mortgage and gives them the house for, they don't even have a mortgage anymore. They own the house outright. And they had only expressed that they were having problems with their mortgage, but he wanted to help them. Those are good works that you go, wow, that's nice fruit on that tree.
Right.
Evil people don't do that. Amen. And they were black. So that means he would have to have said, you know, oh my good, I'm a racist. I can't help you.
Right.
But we believe anything CNN tells us, and I wish I could take a day, and I've asked God about it, to educate you how God, Donald Trump came into office and how God is using him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't understand, you think, oh, he's just a brash, loudmouth, mm-hmm. with really nice hair that's, you know, always saying weird stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
He called these two countries, I'm going to say poop hole countries, right?
Uh-huh.
Because that's Christian language. And The reason why he called those two countries was not because they were black countries, because they were heavy into selling their children to the Clintons for child pedophilia. So that's why he called them that, okay? But you don't know that, so you get on CNN and say he's called these two black countries bad names because they're black. No, it had nothing to do with black. It had to do with how they were treating their children and the money that the leaders were making off of selling the children for pedophilia. But we don't listen to that. And God says, we're not dumb. Right. If you see someone and they do something, you should have said, this man must be sent from God, okay? Under Obama, nobody had anything bad to say. Yet he has a Muslim room for people to come and pray to Allah in the White House. Trump had to go in and just say, pull all that junk up out of here. Listen, we're not a Muslim country.
He took down the rainbow flag too.
He took down the rainbow flag too. And oh no, he took it down. We're not having that here. Okay. Now he's having Bible studies. I send that out to him and people say, well, he's just having Bible studies to fool us.
They don't want to believe anything. They just like CNN.
So God gave me this scripture to say to you this. Look, Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How can his kingdom stand?
Right.
So if Donald Trump is arresting pedophiles, right?
Yeah, right.
How can you say he's still working with them? You understand? These people are going to jail. Okay. I'm just saying this. Look at the fruit. I'm going to tell you, okay, I sent you guys that the homeless woman that's living in Trump Tower for free for the last 9 years. Mm-hmm. I sent you that. Okay.
Right.
She's black. So he unless he's a weird racist, he's letting this black woman live in his tower for free for the last 9 to 10 years, and he makes sure that she gets 3 meals a day and fresh flowers every week, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, and he doesn't take a dime because he knows she was homeless. Okay, this is what you call fruit, okay? Yes. There was a young lady in this last year, she was trying to get a hold of this people who were supporting Trump to tell them a story. And she says, hey, I was being trafficked. Okay, she says she was being trafficked and they were selling her. It was a very young lady. Like, she said she was like 17 at the time. She said, I went to one of the parties and Donald Trump was there. And everybody started yelling at her because they were Trump supporters. No, she's lying. She said, they didn't let me finish my story. So the next day she comes back and she let me finish my story.
Right.
She said, he purchased me outright, not for the night, but outright. Said he found out where I lived, where they took me from, gave me money to go home and paid for me to go to school.
Wow.
Okay, so that I could get my life back together.
Wow.
Okay, now, you do this, okay? You do this and I go, you're still working for the devil. Come on, it's like God said, I did not make human beings dumb, okay? You may be deceived and you may be preoccupied. You better understand, 90% of the media is owned by Luciferians and Satanists, okay? Mm-hmm. The Mossad, all of this stuff, And he's been briefed on all of that. So he knows that 90% of the media is not going to like him, okay?
Right.
Because 90% of the media is ran by Satan himself,
right.
Okay? So CNN is never gonna say anything good about Donald Trump.
Right.
And they've been trying to get him out of office. Why? Because he's doing godly things in the office and messing up Satan's kingdom that he was trying to build. Now at some time, God's gonna take the church out of the world. I hope Donald Trump is with us when he takes us, but maybe he won't, I don't know. You gotta accept Christ for yourself, okay? But If he does, the world's going to be, then you can get Hillary or Obama back in office. And then you can say, okay, now this is how things are supposed to be. But God used a man to say, this is what I'm going to do. He has not divided the land. Him and Netanyahu both said, we're not dividing. Jerusalem is not in question, okay? Right. So this can't be Daniel 9, 27's covenant. It may be something on the table, but the Antichrist will come after the church leaves. Mm-hmm. I emphasize that. And he will bring forth a covenant and give it strength and put it in power. This covenant is only on the table,
yeah.
But the actual Antichrist has to pull, yeah. Has to give power to it, okay? Yeah. So I hope I said it meaner today, because God said I was being too nice last night. But you have to understand what's going on in the world, and you have to be praying for somebody who's doing good things. Watch the summit that they had on human trafficking, and just listen to the speeches, and listen to what he was talking about. Listen to the young lady that went through it and said she's thankful that Donald Trump and his team was able to rescue her and not only send her back to school, but give her a job at the White House to help them understand mm-hmm. what pedophilia and trafficking is about.
I'm reading about that this morning.
She works in the White House now. Oh, and she's black, so you gotta be a racist. Come on. All right, I'm done with that. I'm done with that, because you guys come up with all your theories as you want, but if you heal somebody and they was deaf and they was blind and you heal them, I'm not gonna say he must be from Satan. It's like, so weird. Okay, here we go. Hope I didn't lose any friends on that. Like, Lord, it's like you was being too nice. Like these people need to know they are tripping. Okay? Now, the big question that people ask me, Pastor Sandy, why did God use the 19th century? Why did it start in 1900? Who said the count started in 1900? Why did it start in 1900? Why is it 120 years from 1900? I could explain that simply, and I have explained it simply, without going into depths of Hebrew and understanding Hebrew language and all of that. I've done it, and I've tried to even give you the root of it, which is the letter in the Hebrew alphabet that equates out to 120, which is Semek, which represents Eve. Okay, I'm trying to explain it to you in a Hebrew way so you understand why God chose this particular year to begin a 120-year count, and why he would document that 120-year count in the Bible.
Yeah.
Why would he document it? And when I say he documented it, he's like, I'm going to put a prophecy for every year from 1900 all the way up to 120, so that you see that this was a 120-year count. And then when the 120th of Psalms come, I'm going to call that psalm the Psalm of Going Up, the Psalm of Mi'alah, the Psalm of Ascent, because this is when I'm going to take my church out, and this is when judgment is going to come. And you go, well, why would you do that in that 120 years? Because every judgment happens in 120 years. Moses, 120. Eve, 120. She wasn't 120 years old, but the whole Semek is 120. She's the helper, right?
Right.
So then we looked at last week, and we got three kings. We got Saul, David, and Solomon, but all three serving for how long? 40 years. 40 is the number of the 40 is the number of for testing. So the test was over. Now the judgment was coming. And so you got 3 times 40 is what? 120. And now Israel goes under judgment. When? Not till after Solomon, because that's the end of the 120th year. So I'm trying to show you completely, like, God chose this 120-year count to bring forth this judgment and the rapture. And we're almost at the beginning of this, because March 26th, 2020 is Nisan 1. Okay? We can look at this. March 26, 2020 is Nisan 1. So that's when the 120th year begins. Okay? Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 says, the flood began in the second month of that 120th year. So it wasn't deep into the fall or all that. It was at the beginning of the year in the second month on the 17th day, the flood began. Now, I know that Pentecost is May 29th. And so now I'm looking at from spring to Pentecost, when this rapture thing is going to happen in the 120th year. But why 19? Let's look at that. Stay over there, Pastor Ben, because I'm gonna hang out over there. Okay, we're gonna erase this, but as we erase it, okay.
I'm gonna put it up on Facebook.
Yeah. I'm not gonna erase this down here, I'm just gonna erase this up here.
Because
God wants you to know, you better be obedient if you come to Christ. Don't you ever tell nobody I don't have to be obedient when I come to Christ. That's the dumbest thing ever, right? That's dumb. I can live any kind of way I want. I just came to Christ. I repented. Well, if you're still sinning, you didn't repent. You're right. Okay. Now works. I don't want anybody trying to work themselves to the kingdom. Okay. Don't try to get out and do as many good things for people and say, oh, I must be saved because I did a whole bunch of really cool things. Try this one and this will do it for you. Okay. Let's erase that. Now, I got this study and I'm going to send it to Pastor Ben. Okay. And I not today, because Pastor Ben's packing. He's getting ready to go to Hawaii. Got his tanning cream. No, we both got excellent tans. We're not really going to be looking for tan. Okay. Now, so this is what I'm going to teach you according to the number 19. First of all, 19 is this letter in Hebrew, which means holy. Okay? So, there you are. Holy, holy, holy. I didn't even get into 300 today, but kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is 300. Okay? Holy, holy. What the angels say in front of God all day while he's at the throne. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Right? God Almighty, God Supreme. They're singing to him. But this is the 19th letter is holy, okay? Now, I don't want to get into the Star of David, but the Star of David is 19 of 37. So this is the center of the star of the third of this star of 37. So it's the heart of it, okay? Now, we'll talk about that the next time. We don't want to get too deep into that. Okay, I'm going to read this. The number 19 is the hexagon in the hexagon star paired 19 and 37, which appears in the heart of Genesis 1:1. Okay, so we're going back to 19 being first referenced in Genesis chapter 1. It is the heart. Okay, the lev, which is the heart. Okay. It forms the sixfold double star, which is the Star of David. The number 19 is the basis of the grace manifested. Okay, it relates to the idea of physical manifestation and the flesh, and plays a central role in the course of world history with the rise of materialism in the 19th century. Someone wrote this, I think 15 years ago, okay? Before we came up to this, the 19th year, the 19th century being this year for God counting the 120 year count, okay? This is way before Pastor Sandy, okay? The link in all is amplified in the pair of identities. Okay, so let's look at what is numerically the number 19. What was the first 120 example of for judgment? What was the first? Eve, right? Because remember, Eve is the Semek, okay? And the Semek spelled out in fullness is 120. So Eve is the helper, but Eve's name in Hebrew is Chava, which is numerical value of, we got 8, we got 6, and we got what, 5, right? That better be 19. Is that 19, Pastor Ben? Yes, okay, so that equals 19. Eve equals 19. What does 19 stand for in Hebrew? What does the 10 stand for? Perfect. Oh, sorry. Perfect order. Okay? Perfect order is 10. 9 is what? Judgment.
Yeah.
Okay. So 19 is going to say this is the perfect order of judgment. What is the perfect order of judgment? 19. So God waits till the 19th century to start this whole thing, okay? Yeah. To start his count in Psalms. Now, if you want to take a picture of that, Pastor Ben, because I'm going to erase it. Okay, because so there you are. 19 is holy. Perfect order of judgment is Semek, the 120. Hava, which is Eve, okay?
Got it.
Now, let's get into some more stuff, okay? Now, because Eve brought about the first 120 judgment, okay, God said, let's make, when I start my count in the 19th century, let's make Psalms the 19th book of the Bible. Wow. Okay, now you say, did God do that or did man do that? Man didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Okay, I want you to know when it comes to the Bible, God organized this thing word for word, scripture for scripture,
yes.
Okay? So God says, let's make the 19th book of the Bible Psalms, because that's when I'm going to start my account for my 120 years. Let's make it the 19th book of the Bible. And then he say, oh, since we have 66 books, and Revelation is the last book, let's make it 48 years backwards from Revelation, okay? Because 1948 is the year I'm gonna bring them back,
right?
Okay? That is not the beginning of the last generation, okay?
Amen.
That's the 48th year of the last generation,
yes.
Okay? So this is Israel, and now we got God put Psalms. They put Psalms right here, okay? In Psalms, God says, I'm gonna put a prophecy about 1901, 1902, 1903. I'm gonna put a Psalm all 19. So he just starts prophesying each year for each Psalm, mm-hmm. Okay? When he gets to 1947, what does he do? He puts a prophecy about the UN giving the land back.
Yeah.
Announcing the land back to Israel, okay? When he gets to the 1948 Psalm, he does a prophecy about the return of the nation of Israel back into the land, right? and we went over many of these things, okay? So we don't want to go over all this, but somebody, we call him El Shaddai, the one who loves my soul, Echad Achava Nefeshali, the one who loves my soul, he decided 19 is going to be the book that I'm going to put Psalms in, and the 19th century is when I'm going to start this count where I prophesy each year. Okay? So let's look at other things in 19. Okay? Other words that mean that have the numerical value of 19. Check this out. Where is it? Will come. Okay, now watch this. See this word. If you're Jewish, you can tell me what this word means. Yavah. What does that word mean? He will come. 19. Okay? He will come. Okay? Look at this. Look at this word. I'm going to write it in English. Beteka, meaning her hand. Whose hand? Whose hand brought forth the judgment? Who is the her hand? Okay? Her hand did, her hand started this, her hand started this, her hand started this whole judgment thing of 120.
Wow.
Okay? So it was her hand that brought about the judgment that's going to call. He will come, okay? Mm-hmm. Then batek, or batach, which means trust. So you can trust, he will come, okay? Your hand, yavo. Oh, and praise, yada, okay? Let me put that there. Put that there, that's horrible Hebrew writing, but I'm gonna straighten that out because I don't wanna be a bad student, okay? Yada, which is praise. So trust, praise. Eve is the word, the name Eve, Chava, her name is 19. Trust is 19. Her hand is 19. He will come, 19. Okay? So God is putting a lot of emphasis on this number that means kadosh, perfect order of judgment. 19, okay?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons why God chose the 19th century, okay?
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons. The first being that Eve's name is 19.
Right.
Okay? Now, so you get Psalms. I'm gonna see if I haven't done this study completely. I was just going over it this morning. Then I got a few phone calls. Okay, drawing near to God, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do all that. So let's go to, I think it's Exodus chapter 19.
Exodus 19.
I think it's Exodus 19. I'm pretty much going to... Wow, look at this. Now, God could have put this in any book he wanted to, this story, but he chose the 19th chapter of Exodus, okay?
Exodus
19.
And what verse?
Let's start at verse 3. And it says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did in to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Yes.
These are the words you are to speak to Israel. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said." Now, God sent Moses back to them with a proposal for a marriage contract. Mm-hmm. He said, "If you obey me, this is what I'll do to you." This is a contract. This is a covenant. The people said, "We will."
Yep.
If I give you a ring and I say, "Will you marry me?" and you say yes, you're agreeing to take in the ring, right?
Right.
So the people have just now agreed in the 19th chapter, the Kadosh chapter of the Exodus, and the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come down to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me and speak with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. He said, "Lord, they said they accept your proposal, right?" And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of the people." Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he says he's going to come down in the third day. Did you take a picture of this, Pastor Ben?
I did.
All right. Now, God says, "Look, I'm coming down in the third day, and I'm going to marry you on the third day." Jesus leaves for 1,000. That's one day. 2,000th year comes around. 2 days. 3,000th year comes around, and this is the third day, okay? Third day, we'll see. Okay. When did we enter the third day? 2000s. After 2017, we're on the third day.
Right.
So we're 3 days into the third day. You understand?
Yep.
So after 2017, we know a marriage is going to happen, okay? Because Jesus was at a wedding and his mother was there, and when did it happen? On the third day, okay? So now, after 2017, we're now at 2020. We're on the third day since Christ. We're early morning on the third day, okay? So he tells them, "Look, on the third day, I'm going to come down and marry you." Now, the word of God is prophecy. It's always talking to you about a future event as it's speaking to you about a present event.
Yes.
God is like, you can do this. Okay, let me go back over here and read, Pastor Ben. I got Pastor Ben working today. I'm not ready for all this. Okay. Now, in verse 10, it says, "The Lord said, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people and put limits around the people and around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain to touch the foot of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him." Okay. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. So don't go up to the mountain, right? "Only when The ram horn sounds. A loud blast may you go up to the mountain. You hear that?
Yeah.
So nobody's going up till the third day and the trumpet blows.
Right.
All right. Now it says, after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, okay, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourself for the third day. Abstain from relationships. And it says, and on the morning of the third day, look, it says on the morning of the third day, early morning. You understand? Early morning. 2016 was the began the third day. We're early morning on the third day. So understand, because God's prophesying. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder, lightning, a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. You hear that? Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood on the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like the smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Wow. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. This is their wedding day. Now, if you continue to read down there, it says, the Lord descended to the top of the mountain and called Moses to the top. But then when he said, the people said, from now on, you speak to us. Don't have God speak to us. But you listen to their wedding day, okay? Now, this wedding is going to occur again, and God put it in the New Testament to let you know that this exact wedding is going to happen when? On the third day. And where is it, though, Pastor Ben? Is it in? Whew. I'm going to take a chance. Let's see. I'm going to go to Hebrew. And I'm going to take a chance that it's in Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm taking a chance because I don't really know. Because this whole wedding takes place again. And God lets them know. Oh, this is, wow. That's pretty good.
Chapter 12.
Let's start at verse 14. Let me see now. Marriage and Exodus, the earth consuming fire, blah, blah, blah. Adam. Wow. Now watch this. Okay, here we go. Now, it starts off with this simple teaching, okay? And I'm not talking to you guys like you're not smart. I'm being sarcastic to people who say, I'm saved by grace and I can sin this, and I don't have to stop sinning, okay? Mm-hmm. Watch this. Oh, or someone said, if I do it, that means I'm trying to get saved by my own efforts. And I'm saved by grace. If I try to do anything, I'm saying that Jesus didn't do it all. Jesus did it all. Now do your part. Okay? Your part is be obedient.
Amen.
So because now watch how this starts out. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. God's telling who? Who's he telling? Who's he telling that to? He's telling that to you. He said, put some effort into it. Right? You can stop. Put some effort into it. Okay? Then it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. If you don't separate yourself and sanctify yourself to God in that repentance, in that desire to live obedient to God, he says, without holiness, no one will see God. You will not see him. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many, so that no one is sexually immoral, you can stop, or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. Listen, that means for sin, for something that has no value like sin, he's selling his inheritance to the kingdom. He says, don't be like that. Inheritance rights as the older son. He was due a double portion. And it says, afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Okay, and could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. If you don't live holy, okay, if you don't repent and walk with Christ, and you sell your birthright, which is the kingdom of God, for the opportunities to sin, which is like a bowl of soup compared to the kingdom, he says, later you will come back saying, Lord, please open the door for me. I too am a Christian. And he'll say, away from me, I don't know you.
Amen.
Okay? So I'm just saying, God did not make us dumb. He made us very intelligent. You can read this scripture, and God is telling you, make every effort to live at peace with all men, and to do what? And to be holy, to sanctify yourself.
10 minutes.
Okay, you make that effort, okay?
Amen.
Now, it says, now here comes the wedding. He says, because you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. It says, for you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. Okay, you have not come to that mountain that can be you. It says to darkness and gloom and storms. You haven't come to that mountain. Do you remember that mountain?
Oh, yeah.
That was in Moses' time. You have not. Okay, it says to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. He says, that is not the wedding that you're about to experience. This is your wedding. But you have come early morning on the third day. You have come to the Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, to the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Yes.
And Jesus is a prophecy of Abel because his own brothers killed him. So you're coming to a same type of blood, but this blood speaks a better covenant for you. So that marriage in 19 is going to happen again. Okay? And God put it in 19 because God says, in the perfect order of judgment, I'm going to put this story.
Wow.
The Bible is being structured by God. You understand?
Yes.
Eve's name is equivalent to the numerical gematria of 19 for a reason. Why? Because Eve is the one, it was by her hand that judgment began. That's gone, Pastor Ben. It is by her hand that judgment began. Why? Eve, who is the helper, the Semek, mm-hmm. 120 brought about the first judgment. So God knows that the first judgment came in a numerical value of 120. Therefore, when the flood comes, the flood's going to happen in 120. Why? I'm keeping in line with Eve. So now when the second judgment comes, Moses dies at 120. Why? I'm keeping in line with Eve. Understand? So then when the kings come, and there's three of them, 40, 40, and 40, at the end, Israel is going to be judged because it's the end of 120, right? So then you say, okay, now when Samson rescues and brings judgment on the Philistines, and he pushes out the pillar, let's make the pillar's numerical value 120, and let's also make the Hebrew value for congregation 120, so that they know that the pillars is the congregation, and when they are removed, judgment will come.
Wow.
There's no judgment coming until the pillars get removed.
Right.
And so why did God choose 19? Don't ask me that, because I'm going to send you to this video. But I'm going to do more for you. I've only done 2 pages of this study, but I'm going to finish it, and I'm going to send it to Pastor Ben so he can send it to all of you. Yeah. So when someone says, how did God start his 120-year count in the 1900s? You can give it to him and show him all the reasons why.
Yes.
And the fact that God prophesied every year in the 19th century.
Amen.
Every year, all the way up to 120. And then he waits till he gets to 120. 120 is called the genesis of the Psalms. Do you know that? It's a new beginning for the Psalm. It is a Genesis Psalm, which means this new beginning is the mi'alah, the going up. The rapture is the new beginning of that 120th Psalm. And then we have to be absolutely nuts to read the next 7 chapters and see that it perfectly mirrors the tribulation.
Yes.
Come on. God made us smart. That's why he structured the Bible the way he did, so that we could understand it. I just read last week, those who are ungodly will not understand, but those who are godly, the wise, will understand. Yes. Because God put it in the scripture, and the Holy Spirit he put inside of us so that we could have understanding.
Yes.
So within this spring and this Pentecost, the body of Christ should be preparing to leave, okay? Based on one person's testimony who said, the coming of the Son of Man will be as it was in the days of Noah. It was 120 years then. It'll be 120 years then. At the end of that 120 years, I said to Noah, I have found you righteous in this generation. What generation? The 120 years. Go into the ark, and then the flood began. And he's going to say to us, I have found you righteous in this generation. Go into the ark. Let the trumpet be blown so we can have a wedding. Praise God.
Amen.
So that's it for today. I'm sorry about last night. I was trying to be nice while I was trying to express God's heart. But God wants you to know that you cannot hate what he's doing. The peace plan is there for a reason. Because when the Antichrist comes, guess what? He needs something already in place that he can put into power.
Yes.
Okay? Israel is going to be divided.
Yes.
Don't say, oh, he's got to be evil because he's trying to divide Israel. He's helping fulfill a prophecy. By giving Jerusalem back to them, he fulfilled a prophecy.
Yep.
It's going to be divided. He's helping God fulfill a prophecy.
Yes.
What's the prophecy? The land is going to be divided.
Yes.
Okay? Okay. No, no. Now God said, you mad enough today? I'm not mad. I'm just trying to express to us that we need to be ready to go. And being ready to go means that you are sanctified unto God, that you are living the life that you confess. And if you're having problems, pray. Go to the altar. Ask God to help you overcome that sin. If you're hooked on pornography, if you're hooked on alcohol, if you're hooked on drugs, it doesn't mean that you can't be saved, but it means that you need to be at the altar because you need to show God sincerity that I'm trying to get out of this, okay? Because God knows what true effort is and what no effort is, okay?
Amen.
So let's be ready to go. We're going to Hawaii to preach end time prophecy and to pray for people, okay? Yeah. It started off as a little thing, and now everybody's going. And now when we get to why, it will be live. So yeah. Sunday, we will have a service, and you will hear the message. And so we will be live, but there'll be no church service from this building. We'll all be in Hawaii.
And prayer will be live, too.
And prayer will also be live. So if your prayer requests, I have many prayer requests that I've sent to Pastor Ben, and we're praying together. We may not be able to get to you, but we get all the prayer requests, and we begin praying on them, and I begin praying on them at home, okay? So just be understanding that you do have a church. If you belong to this church online, you do have a church that loves you, and we care about you, and we want to make sure that you are ready to leave here when at the appointed time, okay? And we're praying for your loved ones that they will come to Christ. So stay on them, don't argue with them, pray for them, and then as you pray for them, the Holy Spirit will make them ask you about Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Pastor, one question about, explain to us about One Rest, 31st Psalms.
Huh?
The One Rest in the 31st Psalms?
I haven't studied that yet. I'm not going to answer that until I studied it.
Amen.
But if there is, but I'm going to write it down because I am going to make sure that I study that out. And that's Psalms what?
31.
Psalms 31. Whoo! Hey, you know what? I got a whole big old thing about Psalms 31, so I will get back to you. This is all good. Psalms 31. I'll tell you exactly. But get a hold of me so I know who I'm answering. Okay?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Are we ready to go, Pastor Ben?
Rock and roll.
All right.
Oh, Octavia's back. Thank you.
Octavia's back?
I blocked her by mistake, but she's back home now.
Okay. How you block Octavia?
I was trying to get somebody else and got her by mistake.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so sorry, baby. I'm sorry.
Apologize to her and her baby.
And the baby. Safe delivery for
yes,
the
that's right. So that's a beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
That is the good day, right? Tov, perfect order of and spiritual divine.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go. Let's pray out. And I want to bless you the way Moses blessed you, because I want God's glory and His face to shine upon you. And here He is, Moses. When you speak to my people, say this. I'm going to say what Moses said to the people and Aaron said to the people. He said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Yivarekeke Adonai v'yishmareke. Yair Adonai panavileke v'chuneke. Yi'aseh Adonai panavileke v'yasim leka shalom. Shalom, everybody. Lehitriot Beshavu Chaba. All right.